brought to you by the Cannabis Bee Network.
Here is the Cannabis Entrepreneur Show with your host, Scott Jacobs.
Hello, listeners. How's it going today? This is the Cannabis Entrepreneur, This and That, episode 005. Article number 1. Is Mark Cuban right about capping college loans at $10,000 per student per year? Take it away.
Source, Forbes. By James Marshall Crotty. I know, many of you can't stand billionaire investor Mark Cuban. I, for some reason, have always liked the guy, even with his childish rants at referees as owner of the otherwise stellar Dallas Mavericks. Moreover, I often listen to points he makes on Shark Tank and elsewhere, which go beyond his sweet spots of tech, business and basketball. Recently, Cuban opined about student debt at Incorporated S. Grow Company Conference. Against the backdrop of rising student loan default, he made a compelling case that, in the interest of economic growth, the federal government should set a per-student ceiling on the amount of student loan money it gives out every year. At first blush, this mandate will strike many poor students as patently unfair. When I look deeper, however, I came to believe that a federal student aid limit, especially at Cuban's $10,000 per student per year threshold, will unleash dramatic change in higher education costs and spending. First, lowering student aid would immediately lessen the financial load on college graduates, freeing up capital for economy-boosting purchases like new homes and appliances, plus cutting-edge startups. Secondly, it would weed out dozens of for-profit colleges, many with questionable methodologies, weak graduation rates and pathetic entrance standards that prey on poor and minority teens and returning adult students. Seizing on the federally goosed canard that everyone must have a bachelor's degree, for-profits have been able to thrive even with tougher federal oversight because 86% of all for-profit college funding comes from federal taxpayers. Moreover, 96% of for-profit college students receive federal college loans. Though only roughly 1/10 of American students are enrolled in for-profit colleges, for-profit students receive 1/4 of all federal student aid. Most telling, 22.7% of for-profit college students default on their loans within 3 years of starting repayment. Clearly, for-profits have been on the taxpayer gravy train for too long, which has encouraged hard-sell tactics that inflate the value of a for-profit degree, as well as zealous attempts to push students into loan forbearance or deferment, instead of brand-damaging default. Naturally, one should not paint all for-profits with a broad brush. There are exceptions, such as West Virginia-based APUS, that fulfill online education's original promise of training service personnel in the field or those, by dint of physical, psychological or cultural barriers, who are unable to attend college in person. Nevertheless, student loan limits would force for-profits to improve admission standards and graduation rates, lest they fail altogether. The third effect of the Cuban plan would be to force more students into this country's excellent community college system. As a recent report, The Hidden STEM Economy, by Jonathan Rothwell of the Brookings Institute, documents, there are plenty of science, technology, engineering and math STEM jobs available to those with only a 2-year associate's degree or what is unfortunately labeled a sub-baccalaureate degree or credential. For example, as the data table 2011 U.S. occupations by STEM score and employment that accompanies the Brookings report notes, STEM majors at community colleges can get hired after 2 years of study in jobs such as computer numeric controlled CNC, machinist starting salary, $48,460. 1 month of experience required, electrical engineering technician starting salary, $57,240. 6-12 months of experience required, veterinary technician $31,570 starting salary. 3-6 months experience required, and computer systems analyst a whopping $82,320, with 6-12 months experience required. After 2 years of college, one should have a trade that one can ply in the workforce. Community colleges provide precisely that, often in person and at a fraction of the cost that for-profits charge for the same material. According to a 2013 College Board report, the average tuition and fees at a public 2-year institution was $3,264 per year. This compares favorably to an average of $8,893 for in-state tuition at a public four-year institution and $30,094 per year at a private non-profit four-year institution. At for-profits, the average tuition and fees are $15,130, substantially more than at a community college. Moreover, many students tell me that community colleges often have superior young instructors, who are hungry to make it into the big leagues of four-year collegiate instruction. Finally, lowering federal student amounts would force non-profit colleges and universities to invest in education again. As Cuban notes, colleges often use their excess capital to invest in improved arenas and fitness facilities, plus higher administrative salaries. How about investing in better professors, smaller class sizes and lowering tuition instead? I am fairly certain that if you ask students at even football-crazed schools like the University of Nebraska, I watched my beloved home state Cornhuskers crush my alma mater of Northwestern this past Saturday in Evanston, most students would forego improved weight rooms, stadium suites and the like, for a substantial break on tuition. As I have repeatedly noted, the college loan market is another example of too big to fail. As with the subprime mortgage mess of 2008, student loans are enabled by an implicit governmental guarantee. Remove that guarantee and colleges will dramatically tighten lending standards, reducing the likelihood of student default since the college itself will largely be on the hook. However, will dramatically lowering the loan money that colleges get from Uncle Sam inexorably lower tuition? This is where the Cuban plan hits a roadblock. Indeed, it could be argued that if the federal backstop ended, colleges would rely even more on families with the ability to pay. This would further deepen the ethnic and class divided top schools, enforce academically qualified, but poor, applicants into schools for which they are vastly overqualified.
Article number 3. Three different business decisions you may have to make. Take it away.
SourceINC.com. By Entrepreneurs Organization. We asked members of the Entrepreneurs Organization EO to share their experiences in dealing with crucial decisions. Difficult employees. Our company has grown from 1 to 15 team members in less than 3 years. After our first year, we were billing big, had momentum in the market, and our company was quickly becoming recognized as one that drives results. But as we grew to over 10 employees, our team dynamic changed. Cliques started to form and personality conflicts were inhibiting people's effectiveness, resulting in managers allocating a significant amount of time toward resolution. Initially, I thought these were the normal growing pains of any small business. But when I had a closer look, the problems were centered on one individual who was not only a friend but also happened to be a tremendous revenue driver for us. The decision to cut ties, though straightforward, was very difficult to come to terms with. That said, our team is happy again and empowered by one another, poised to grow in 2015. Eric Simmons, EO Toronto President, Magnus Personnel Corporation. Unprofessional clients. We learned the hard way that there are some businesses which respect the work they engage agencies for, and others which consider the relationship similar to a master and servants. Several years ago, one of our clients represented a large portion of our revenue and in our haste to offset this imbalance, we began working with a company of the master and servant mindset. Initially, we were all in the honeymoon phase and didn't have any issues, but after a year, we realized our client counterparts were unprofessional and verbally abusive to our staff. As much as we needed the revenue and wanted this high-profile client on our roster, we decided that integrity and respect is more important than money. We ended the relationship amicably, and despite the drop in revenue, it was the best move we could have made. Lauren Boyer, EO New York CEO, underscore marketing. Expansion. Recently, I was presented with the opportunity to expand our service offerings beyond healthcare IT, a critical decision because it would change the entire face of our company. Our messaging, branding, sales strategy, staff, and culture would need to think bigger, see bigger, and essentially become bigger. Expanding meant we'd become a global competitor in the application space. Exciting? Yes. Difficult? Absolutely. Since making this decision 1 month ago though, we have increased our revenue by $250,000. I have also added 2 new members to our team and they have fit right into our culture. We're excited about what the future holds, across multiple areas in this industry.
Article number 3, 7 Insanely Productive Habits of Successful Young Entrepreneurs. Take it away.
Entrepreneur.com by Michael Simmons. Entrepreneurship isn't for the faint at heart. Founders must forge their own path, gather resources and take on huge financial risks, all in the hopes of avoiding the fate that 80 to 90% of startups suffer, failure. So to be successful, entrepreneurs really have beaten the odds, especially young entrepreneurs. Starting with almost no wealth, network or business experience, many create more success in a few years than most people do in their entire lifetime. To understand what they do differently, we interviewed several young entrepreneurs from this year's Impact Showcase, an annual program highlighting the power these founders and their companies play in the community. Rather than focus on generic insights or basic hacks, we looked at unique, concrete habits you can immediately adopt in your life and business that can have a game-changing impact. Create a regimented schedule. My overarching goal is to be consistent in my schedule, and as a result, I live a lifestyle that allows me to maximize the amount of work I get done. I believe this type of prioritization has made a huge impact on how quickly Fueled has grown. My dinner ends at 11 p.m., and I always have a solid work session afterwards until 3:30 a.m. Setting aside a block of time in my schedule for uninterrupted productive creation is vital to my work process. It's when I answer emails and do my thinking around bigger ideas without any distractions. Then I go to bed every day at exactly 4 a.m. and typically wake up without an alarm clock. Other people might want to focus on other areas, like family, but a consistent schedule is key. Founder Rami Chawla of Fueled. Ask yourself this question before going to bed. Every night before bed, I think about this question: if I live every day the same way I did today, what kind of future would that create? It forces me to constantly evaluate whether or not my actions are lining up with my priorities. The future is shaped one day at a time, and it's never as far away as we think. Co-founder Jesse Lear of VIP Waste Services. Take an adventure walk every weekend to connect the dots. Every weekend, I go on a long hike in a place that I've never been before. I do the research in advance and sometimes, I drive as far as an hour away. My hikes are anywhere between 1 and 4 hours long. I take an old-school composition notebook with me, and I let the thoughts come. I don't force anything. The habit helps to relieve stress and unpack the ideas from the week. It's kind of like meditation. By constantly evaluating ideas and how they fit into your business, you can slowly render them into reality and watch your imagination unfold. As an added benefit, research in the new field of an activity studies shows that moving around daily is critical to health. In fact, sitting for an hour is worse than smoking 2 cigarettes, according to another study. Founder Ryan Connie of Advocates for World Health. Take a hot-cold contrast shower every morning. My most unique personal habit is the hot-cold contrast shower. I've done it every morning, no matter where I've lived or what hotel I'm staying in, for 14 years. By doing 30 seconds of ice-cold water, followed by 30 seconds of hot, then 30 seconds of cold water, always ending with cold water, I gained the energy and clarity to start my day feeling refreshed. To get started in this habit, do a normal shower. Then crank the water as cold as it goes for 30 seconds. Then crank as hot as you can stand it for 30 seconds, then ice cold for 30 seconds. This cold hot cold is one cycle. I'd start with one cycle for the first time. If it's too much, try it on the legs first. That's what my girlfriend does. She also thinks I'm crazy. Not convinced? Learn about the research behind cold showers. Founder Phil Dumontet of Dashed. Reflect on critical open questions through different lenses. Most of the technologies we've ended up inventing and developing, and most of the strategies we've ended up pursuing, have been born by a long cultivation of an open question, followed by the nurturing of a slow hunch. I am able to tolerate open questions for months, or years. Open questions could include queries about how to find a co-founder for your business idea when people have their own interests and projects to work on, or how to sell your new product to an entity that is typically averse to risk answers. Work with them on their projects to show your worth and tempt them with interesting questions. Show how to dramatically reduce a risk they already bear. Usually, the simple answers that come quickly do not satisfy me. But instead of giving up or forgetting it, I work at the problem each day from different angles, under different lenses, which can include but are not limited to, looking at extremes, considering what essential assumptions are and how to test them, and discovering how a different industry might solve a problem. Eventually I find some real traction with an idea that seems novel and has a good chance of working. Co-founder Danielle Fong of LightSail Energy. Set 3 specific goals weekly and monthly, and ignore everything else. There are a million things you can do to improve your business. The problem is, if you try to fix or improve them all at once, you end up not making much progress in any of them. You need to be relentless in following your goals. At least once a day, I find myself asking, is what I'm working on directly helping one of the 3 goals? It's easy to distract yourself with tasks that aren't critical. You just need to stay on top of it. This helps us accomplish big things quickly. To hold ourselves accountable and stay on the same page, we have weekly meeting on Fridays. During these meetings, our company sets the goals for the upcoming week and see where we are on the previous week's goals. It's a lot easier to say, what went wrong this week than, what went wrong this quarter? Co-founder Patrick Ambrun of Brand Yourself. Make lots of lists as soon as you get to the office. My habit is that I create lists for everything for one hour as soon I get to the office every morning or the day before at the end of the day. I record these lists in notes on my iPad, computer, and iPhone. I also use Gmail tasks so I can link my lists to emails. It forces me to think through my day, my week, my year, and my long-term plan before beginning to execute. This improves my organization and clarity. In the past, I got caught up with the day-to-day details, and I took my mind off of the big goals. There is a great YouTube video that I love, which inspired me to start the habit. Founder Jonathan Nostrand of IV. Forming the right habits is critical to success as an entrepreneur. In fact, 40% of our daily behaviors happen automatically as a result of our habits according to researchers at Duke University. So, if you choose the right behaviors to turn into habits, you've just supercharged a large portion of your day. What is the single biggest productivity habit that has created the most impact in your life? Answer in the comments section below.
That's all I have for this episode. Till next episode, have a good day, good night, good week. Bye-bye.